case is submitted. We'll hear arguments next in Maine against Thibodeau. Mr. Smith, I think you may proceed whenever you're ready.
Thank you, Mr. Chief Justice. Mr. Chief Justice, and may it please the Court, a writ of certiorari was granted to the Maine Supreme Judicial Court on January 21, 1980, to hear the above matter. The questions presented therein were threefold. First, whether petitioner's good faith violation of the Federal Social Security Act and its regulations with a resulting incorrect reduction of AFDC benefits to the respondents, but without a violation of respondents' constitutional rights, constitutes a violation of 42 U.S.C. Section 1983. The second question posed was whether the Civil Rights Act of 1976, 42 U.S.C. Section 1988, allows consideration of an award of attorney's fees to respondents who prevail solely on a Social Security Act claim in an action where no violation of constitutional rights are found. The final question was whether or not 42 U.S.C. Section 1983 affords respondents a remedy in a state court for a violation of the Social Security Act. The statement of the facts follows. The respondents, Lionel and Jolene Thibodeau, are married and have 8 children. 4 of those children are theirs pursuant to their common marriage. 3 of the children were bought into the common marriage pursuant to a prior marriage of Mr. Thibodeau's. 1 child was Mrs. Thibodeau's pursuant to a prior marriage. In November of 1975, the State of Maine Department of Human Services reduced or notified Mr. Thibodeau that they were going to reduce his benefits pursuant to a change in what we believe deemed by federal regulations. We notified him of this proposed change. The change was as follows. In computing the net available income of Mr. Thibodeau in order to determine the amount of AFDC benefits to be allowed for his 3 children by a prior marriage, the department would no longer subtract that portion of Mr. Thibodeau's income which went to the support of the 4 children by the common marriage. The effect of this was to count as available in the computation of the eligibility benefits income which was actually unavailable due to Mr. Thibodeau's legal obligation to support his 4 mutual children. After exhausting their administrative remedies, the Thibodeau's, pursuant to a complaint filed in the Superior Court, appealed the department's decision and on their computation basis. This appeal was brought originally pursuant to Maine Rules of Civil Procedure, Rule 80B, and 2 other statutes, which in and of themselves allow for the Maine State Courts to take jurisdiction of cases such as this, a denial or a reduction of AFDC benefits. On January 7, 1977, an amended complaint was filed in the same court. This followed the enactment of the Civil Rights Attorneys Fees Act of 1976. The amended complaint, brought pursuant to 1983, as well as the other state statutes which would have allowed jurisdiction in the state, as well as a cause of action, alleged violation of the Social Security Act, regulations pertaining to the Social Security Act, and also asked for certification as a class action, which was granted. The Maine Superior Court entered judgment for the Tibbetots on the merits. The petitioners were enjoined from enforcing the challenged regulations, and in compliance with court order, adopted new regulations. The state also paid benefits prospectively to all class members who were eligible, and also paid retroactive benefits to the Tibbetots. However, another issue was still before the court, and that issue was attorney's fees. The court, in a subsequent motion, denied the respondent's plea for attorney's fees, which was then appealed to the Supreme Judicial Court of the State of Maine.
What other issues are here now other than attorney's fees?
Whether or not Section 1983 applies, or whether Social Security, a violation of the Social Security Act is encompassed within the parameters of Section 1983. The reason for this, Your Honor, is that the wording of Section 1988, the Attorney's Fees Awards Act, allows a discretionary award of attorney's fees in order to enforce a provision of Section 1983. So without a violation of Section 1983, in this case, you would not have attorney's fees that could be awarded to respondents. The Supreme Judicial Court of Maine concluded that a right exists to sue under 42 U.S.C. Section 1983 in a state court, that a similar right also exists to enforce the provisions of the Social Security Act, even though the claim is not of constitutional dimension, and that an award of attorney's fees for a violation of the Social Security Act may be considered. A dispute over the computation of welfare benefits without a violation of the 14th Amendment or any violation of civil rights was not, in the petitioner's mind, within the realm of foreseeability or within the intent of the legislators, drafters, and enactors of the predecessors of Section 1983, to wit, the Civil Rights Act of 1871, which was also known as the Ku Klux Klan Act. The historical background, and this Court is well aware of this, of the times when the 1871 Act was enacted during Reconstruction days depicted a very sordid time in the history of this country. Almost all rights that blacks were to have enjoyed under the 14th Amendment were not available to them. There were burnings, there were pillages, there were no rights of property that Negroes could enjoy. This Court has recognized that. However, in response thereto, Congress passed the Civil Rights Acts of 1866, the 14th Amendment, as well as the Civil Rights Act of 1871, the Ku Klux Klan Act. As this Court has said in Chapman versus Houston Welfare Rights Organization, in cases of statutory construction, our task is to interpret the words of those statutes in light of the purposes Congress sought to serve. It is the state's contention that the purposes of the Ku Klux Klan Act, the predecessor of Section 1983, were to provide enforcement of the 14th Amendment. That amendment is not at issue today. There has been no due process violations or allegations thereof. There have been no equal protection violations or allegations thereof. Another purpose of Section 1871 was to counteract violations of basic liberties. They are not at stake in this case or at issue. Another purpose of the Act of 1871 was to provide a remedy when a state law existed in theory but was unavailable in practice. Here, in contrast, we had a state law that was available in practice, it was available in reality, and indeed the state law without Section 1983 afforded the respondents the rights to appeal under the fair hearing provisions and also to have the state's regulation overturned.
Do you have any case against New York on your side on that point?
Excuse me, sir?
Do you have any case other than Barney against New York, which has been thrown out so many times, on your side? What case says that?
Says what, sir? I didn't say Barney.
The state has laws to the same as the federal laws. The federal laws don't apply.
If we're getting into jurisdiction, sir?
I'm getting to what you're talking about. Didn't you say that the state of Maine provides all these things?
Yes, sir.
You can't use 1983. Now, I'm asking you what case of this court says anything close to that.
Okay. I'm not aware of any cases of this court that say that, Your Honor. However, I am reserving as a third argument the jurisdictional aspect of state courts in 1983. What I'm trying to say to this court is that without 1983, the respondents had appropriate remedies in a state court pursuant to state laws.
Would they have been able to receive fees there? You can respond to that at 1 o'clock. I think we're over in the meantime.
Okay. Thank you, sir.